Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz, and my guest today is Amanda Holmes. She is the CEO of Chet Holmes International, a company she took over at the age of 24, not long after the death of her father, Chet Holmes. So, Amanda, thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here, John.
So, as we were talking off air, I actually had Chet on when the Ultimate Sales Machine book came out. So this has been at least a decade ago, I guess. What year did that come out?
It's been 7 years.
7 years. Okay. So
not quite a decade.
Okay. I've just been doing this for a long time. One of the things I remember distinctly from that interview was that that in his opinion, you know, even though it was called The Ultimate Sales Machine, he didn't think it was a sales book at all, because it really obviously is, as you know quite well, it gets into a lot of areas. He said his publisher was dead set on that being a title that would sell better, so he went with it.
Oh, how funny. So, do you have that interview? I would love to hear that.
I do have that interview. I'll dig it up for you. But I think nice about, and I think he would certainly agree. He probably did on the show when you listened to it. But you know, we share a lot of the same ideas. I mean, I had been saying for a long time that a revolutionary idea that marketing was a system, and that that you had to have strategy before tactics. And I know that that's a big part of the methodology that that he taught and that you still continue to teach.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about your coming into this business. So. You were, I think I read in your bio, you were a music major in college. In fact, there's some video around the web that you can find of you singing in various formats and settings. But so how did you come to decide to take over your father's company? I mean, obviously, you were given that opportunity for, you know, very sad reasons. But how did that come about for you?
Wow. Well, I always grew up with my father's biggest thing was do what you love. Just do what you love. One of my favorite quotes of him is, the one with the most passion wins.
Yeah.
And so he really supported me in anything I wanted to do. So I said, let's shoot for the moon. You know, let's be a singer and change the masses, change the world with positive stories and beautiful lyrics. And then when my father got ill, I got really into alternative medicine and I wanted to find a cure for him.
Hmm.
And then after he passed, I had a really hard time grappling with the idea of taking over the business because he was so big about doing only what you love. And I'm sitting here going, well, this is a very large company with a lot of people that, you know, right before this, I was living in an ashram in Asia teaching meditation. So I was like, I think I want to go back to meditation. I don't know. Yeah. I want to take this over. And what really sold me, John, was our clients, was our raving fans. We have freaking raving fans, people that we have changed their life. My father's methodology has changed their life. I mean, every other day I hear another story. Somebody that went from 250,000 to 1.2 million in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Increasing $700 million in 2 years. Increasing, doubling sales in 8 months. I mean, this doesn't happen in the real world. It's like what we're able to create is really making people's dreams come alive. And when I started to find out about business owners and their skill sets and realizing that they have really beautiful gifts in what they provide, their services and their products, but sometimes they just don't know how to market it or to sell it. They're just really good at their product. And I can't even help myself. I have to market and sell. It's just in my veins. And so it started to flow more and more as I listened, and I was very quiet for quite a long time. More and more, my heart grew for our clients and my employees. And I just said, you know what? I have to take this thing over. I'm bursting at the seams to talk about this and to make sure that people, it really lands for them what they need to do in their business.
Well, you know, it almost sounds like you love doing this.
How crazy is that?
So let me ask you this, though. another attribute that was probably pretty well known by the people that worked for your father was that, you know, persistence, hard work, you know, outwork the other person is one of the ways that you succeed. And how did that idea maybe map with maybe some of what you were doing in meditation?
What I was doing in meditation?
Well, would some of the teachings, particularly that come from that, would they be counter to that idea? You know, of instead of you know, work your way through it,
yeah.
You know, it might be more along the lines of, you know, let go and.
Yes. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yes. That was another big thing, is I felt that if I stepped into the business, it would be like stepping into my father's grave.
Right.
Because I watched him work himself, you know. Obviously, there's other factors that happen there, but he was definitely a workaholic. I'm a workaholic in the sense of the first thing that comes first for me is my spiritual journey. So I wake up at 4 a.m. every day. I meditate. I'm extremely strict about self-care and taking care of myself and just becoming the best version of me. And when it comes to the business, you know, I'm constantly working on being smarter, you know, as opposed to, okay, how many hours in a day do I need to work to accumulate saying, yes, I've worked hard enough?
Yeah.
I am very wary of that. And I do make sure that I have that balance because I watched my father pass from it. So
was initially, was there any resistance in this existing company? You know, I can see somebody saying, you know, what's this 24-year-old punk gonna do in this company? Was there any of that initially with the folks that had been there?
Yeah. I mean, at first, when I first came in, people would try to confide in me and tell me things about the business. And what I came to find is I started trusting people that probably shouldn't have been trusted. So I'd hear one story from one person, and then I started realizing that I needed to go to 5 or 8 people in my organization to be able to get the full story, because everyone had their own twist on it and a lot of manipulation and just trying to get me on their side, or, hey, I'm looking out for your family, don't worry. But it really wasn't that. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's still some amazing, beautiful people that helped me out, but there were a lot of gold diggers, if I don't know if that's the right word. But
and that's the reason I asked that question, because I can, you know, I could see that being, you know, I mean, regardless of who you were, I mean, anytime somebody new comes in, you know, it can exist. So how is it, or is it, is Chet Holmes International different today?
Yes. Yes. I have really focused on what we're great at. My father had 12 different companies. We now have 4. Mm. So I cut a lot of things that I just felt were extraneous. Also, I don't know if anybody could really run what my father managed to run. That was insanity. He was insane. Nobody could do what he did. So, I've really taken it upon myself to say, hey, I'm going to further my father's legacy, but I'm going to run this company the way that I want a company to be run. So I took our sales process that was offline and I brought it online, incorporating, you know, internet marketing, incorporating lead magnets. I'm a big advocate of lead pages. And just making sure that our funnel was something that added great value, which was something that my father taught, you know, being strategic. Mm-hmm. It's just updating what he taught into all of the different mediums that happen today.
So where did – particularly as you mentioned, kind of you were trying to make it your own. You were feeling your way. You were, you know, weighing different things. Where did you go to learn how to run a company? I mean, where did you get your information? How did you feel like you? Because there certainly are parts of it that you grew up around and understood, yeah, and whatnot. But there are technical elements of running a business that you maybe had not been exposed to.
My CFO,
was that an understatement of some sort?
My CFO called it baptism by fire.
Yeah.
Right. I would say actually my biggest inspiration through this whole thing was this is something you probably don't hear very often, but I actually study under an Indian guru. She is my spiritual teacher, Guruji Sri Sri Poonamji. And that's where I got, you know, some people say that they get their greatest ideas from like a mentor. I guess she's my mentor.
Sure.
In the lineage of gurus, so you have a teacher and a teacher and a teacher, her teacher's teacher actually influenced both Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg just came out, I guess it was like a month ago, that he had come up with the idea of Facebook while sitting in the ashram of my teacher's teacher. And the reason why he went there was because when Steve Jobs was trying to figure out what Apple was, he went to this very same ashram and gave him that advice. So first and foremost, really, her guidance has been so much for me. And then the constant meditation. When I'm stuck, I take out my beads that I pray on and I chant and I pray and ask for the answer from above. And it's maybe a little bit, you know, of course, there's some things you need to do and research and asking sources and things. But honestly, that's where I get my greatest ideas.
Yeah. No, you're right. I probably haven't had a lot of people on this show say that, but I think that it's not a reach in my opinion at all. I mean, I think that you know, a lot of the inspiration that people have is something that's inside of them, and I think a lot of you know, a good teacher, mentor, coach, whatever we want to call it, guru, is really just going to reflect what's inside you. And I think that, you know, there's probably a lot of business people that would benefit from that path, you know, more than reading the latest, you know, book on management. So you have in Chet Holmes International, and this is actually partly a personal question. I mean, personally interested in
when
the answer.
Not sorry. Yeah.
I was going to say all of these questions have been personal, but I'm personally interested in this answer, particularly because I have a network of consultants and coaches as well, the Duct Tape Marketing Network, and that's a part of your organization. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your coaching and consulting network, but I want to start off with. How do you define the difference between a consultant and a coach? Because I've been asked that many, many times, and I'd love to hear your distinction.
You know, that's an interesting thing because, you know, the coach is coach you through what you should do. The clients should get coaching around it, but not necessarily do it for them, whereas
right.
The consultants do it for them. However, I'm really trying to bridge a bit of that gap because we're living in this world of templates, this templated society where they want an email template, they want a sales script template. Right now, I'm working on a template to build a template of a core story, which we've never really done before. We've given the instructions, we've coached them through it, but I think it's taking that coaching to a next step of it feels like a piece of consulting because it's handing you, okay, here you go, here's your sales script, just fill in the blanks.
Yeah. And I think I've actually kind of defined that hybrid model as well, because I do think that there are very few, particularly since we choose, and I know that you choose to work with small business owners quite often, and there is no kind of perfect solution for them, because in the end, they want you to do it all for them. ultimately.
Always.
Ultimately. And so a coaching, you know, even in a coaching environment, I think that there has to be more implementation than them that might imply.
Huge. You know what? I really had a light bulb about this last week because my father really, this whole thing was around 12 core competencies, and those core competencies were skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it can last forever. So the best buyer strategy, getting your biggest clients, the ones that buy the most from you the most often, yes, he gave it in a way of this is how you use it with direct mail. But since it's a skill of getting those biggest clients, you refine and you critique it. I'm doing that skill. I'm refining it on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I get my partnerships from Twitter all the time. I've had some really great partnerships because of that. And I'm using the same skills. It's just on Twitter.
Right.
So this learning the skill set and really focusing in on telling the clients, you know, we're working on your skills so that you can take this and run with it. Right. I think that that's a really key distinction that I haven't seen a lot of people talk about.
Yeah, and I think that's very important because, you know, it's by the time we're done, you know, having this interview and, you know, or later this month or something, sometime there'll be some entire new channel that will come about that we have to jump in and play in. And I think you're right. It's not the channels. I mean, they have all their own way of working and whatnot, but it's the way in which you look at them and how you use them to serve your customers or attract new customers. I mean, that those skills, I think, don't change fundamentally, regardless of all this new online stuff that we have.
Yes, I agree.
So can you sort of succinctly sum up the core kind of point of view of the Chet Holmes methodology? You haven't got that down to a 5 minute or 2 minute spiel. Well, all right. So let me ask you this: pick what's your favorite tool or concept that you see having a great amount of impact?
I've been focusing a lot on our core story education-based marketing concept because the world is so oversaturated with so many marketing messages and sales messages today, and it's so self-centered. 99% of us go out there – well, not us, you know, but 99% of businesses go out there and say, hey, my product, hey, my service, you should buy me, 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 me. And we've come to a different age now where you have to be that strategist. Like we were just talking about, a strategist will always slaughter a tactician. So you're not selling for today, you're selling for forever. So how can you build value? What can you do to educate them? What can you do to figure out what are their pain points and how can you solve them, whether or not it has to do with your product or service? I come from that place of service and how can I bring that service to my clients so that they're making the world a better place, so that maybe sales isn't so much of a dirty word in this new generation of, hey, you know what? Sales is actually education and marketing is about understanding the buying criteria, understanding the market, the product, the service, whatever it may be, so that they come to a logical conclusion. And if you've done your job right, that logical conclusion should lead them to your product.
Well, and I think one of the things that's really a challenge, particularly in this content marketing world, is that you know, everybody is producing content that – or so many people are producing content that even if it's educational, it's focused on the person that's already decided to buy that product or service. And I think the challenge is to start building a tribe or a community or trust before people, you know, ever even think about your product or service as the solution. And that can be really challenging.
Yeah, I also have to say that I feel that content marketing, a lot of business owners that I talk to, you know, a doctor that has 3 offices, a manufacturer that manufactures paper, they say to me, you know, I need Facebook, I need a blog, but they have no idea why or what they're doing. They just hear, you know, word on the street is I should have a Facebook. Yeah. So they're not even thinking about the strategy behind it. Why are you doing this? Where are you leading them? There should always be that call to action. There should always be some kind of flow that brings them into your world.
Yeah. So you have a first off, if people want to find out more about what we're talking about today, it's I should have it right here, but it's Chet Holmes International.
You can just go to chetholmes.com.
Chetholmes.com.
We have a free training going on right now. If you go to howtodoublesales.com, people can access that.
Another great, you have a download, how to build the ultimate business in an hour a week. I think that gives a pretty good, thorough overview of the Chet Holmes method, I believe, as well.
Yes.
So, Amanda, thanks for joining us today. It was great catching up with you. And I will, in the show notes for this, I'll also dig up the interview that I did with Chet, and we'll publish those kind of side by side and see how they hold up.
All right. I would love that.
It was great getting to meet you and chat, and best of luck, and maybe we'll see you out there on the road.
Sounds good. Thank you, John.